in, deeper within. What's he looking for? Amen. To my heart, into your heart now, sing it to him. I'm coming back to heart of worship, and it's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. Hallelujah. How many's tired? It's time to serve him, time to worship him. And it's all about you, all about you, Jesus, King of endless worth. No one could express. We don't have words. You might deserve. Though I'm weak, though I'm weak and poor, well, all I have is yours. Every single, every heartbeat, hallelujah, I'll bring you more than a song. For the song in itself is not what you have required. What's he looking for? You search much deeper within. Through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of world. Raise your hands to him. It's about Jesus. Oh, Jesus, sorry, Lord, for the things I've really mean it from your heart. All about you. Hallelujah, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of, yes, it's all about you. Jesus, it's all about you, precious Lord. Sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it, because it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. All about you. It's all about you, all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. All about you. It's all about you, Jesus. It's why we come, Lord. That's why we're here, Jesus. That's why we've gathered, Lord. It's all about you, Jesus. You're still alive. You're still around, Lord. You're the resurrected Savior. And you love us, Lord. And you come among us, Lord, to touch our lives, to transform us, to bring us into places of love and joy and peace. Hallelujah. To come into fellowship with you in a deeper way. To have victory over the things that try to hinder our relationship with you. How we thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, oh God. That's you standing here. That's you standing in your people. That's you worshiping. You said, I'll worship through the people. That's you, Lord Jesus. How we thank you for that. How we thank you for you, Lord, being the captain of our salvation. You're the warrior that never fails. You're the mighty conqueror. You are the one, Lord, who wins every battle. The battle is yours, Lord. The victory is yours, Jesus. We get to enjoy it, Lord. It's your battle and our victory. Hallelujah. How we bless you. We thank you. Lord, thank you for giving us victory over every disease, over every sickness, over every demon, over every principality and power. Thank you, Lord, for giving us authority over all things, Lord Jesus. Nothing can stand before us. Nothing can stand before your children, oh God. Oh, we thank you, Lord Jesus. What a day we get to celebrate. Lord Jesus, we are your resurrection. We are your life. We are your manifestation. We are your character. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, sir, Lord. How we want to praise you tonight. How we just want to worship you tonight. How we want to give you all the glory tonight. Oh, Lord, we raise our hands, our hearts, our lives to you. Our voices to you, Lord. Are you not worthy of it all, Lord Jesus? Don't you deserve it all, Lord Jesus? All that you did for us, Lord. All that you did on the cross. And going to hell for us, hallelujah, so we don't have to go there. We accept that, oh Lord. How we praise you for that victory in our lives, Lord Jesus. We are victorious through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we praise you, Lord, and thank you. Father God, as we go to the Word, in your name we come. We expect, Lord, that the Spirit of the living God will do the miraculous now. To speak through human lips of an ordinarily dumb person. To speak into the hearts of ordinarily deaf people. And we may hear things that not many can hear, not many know. But we'll hear the voice of God today. And may we hear from that other realm, that other dimension, oh God. May our inheritance call us. May our inheritance speak to us. Come get it. Come get it. Come up higher. Come up higher. May we respond, I come higher, Lord Jesus. I rise up. You call, Lord. Let us answer in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. It's wonderful, huh? Wednesday night, we can have anything if we desire it. Doesn't matter. Jesus made it very simple. Where two or three are gathered in my name, amen. I'll be there. That's pretty nice. I don't think we should waste that opportunity if there's just two of us. Then we should use it to ask Jesus to step in. And he will, because he promised. I'll be there. If you're gathered in my name, I'm going to be there. That's pretty amazing. You can't call on the name of Jesus and he doesn't show up. You use his name, he shows up. That's why if somebody uses the name of the Lord in vain at work or whatever, just say, hey, let's get together. Wait, what are you talking about? You just called the Lord on the scene. You said Jesus and... I'm going to call on Jesus too, so both of us do it. He said, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be there. So Jesus Christ is going to show up. Are you ready? You never know. That may turn into something good. He may want to try to sock you in the nose, but hey, if Jesus is there, he'll block that. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6. How many knows the book of Ephesians is a type of the book of Joshua? It's a type because Joshua was the time of moving out of the prison house of Egypt and out of the wilderness experience and into the promised land. So when Paul is writing to the believers of the Ephesians, he's really pointing to them. This is how we go into the spiritual promised land, the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And so Paul gives these beautiful instructions. And what he's doing is he's taking the fresh revelation of the new covenant and showing how to apply it to everyday life. Children to parents, husbands and wives. How do you treat your boss? Boss treat your employees. I mean, he goes through every little detail, and it's amazing how all the Word of God, just like water, if you poured it over something, just goes into every crevice, every area, every niche. God wants to be involved in every single part of your life. That separates Christianity as a religion to Christianity as a lifestyle, as a way of living. Everyday life, he's involved, not just in the big problems, all the problems. And as the one man figured it out when he wrote the book, God is... Instead of, you know, somebody said, God is my co-pilot, and another man said, God is the pilot. What are you talking about? And we understand that now. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, if you are in that part of the Bible there, it is after Acts and Romans and Galatians. You got to get past a few of those books there. But it's the last chapter of Ephesians. So Paul is, the Apostle Paul there is winding it up by the Holy Spirit. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. I don't think he's saying God's expecting Christians to go around all wimpy and beat up. And be strong in the Lord. You don't have to be strong in your own strength or try to be strong, you know, in your own power. Be strong in the Lord. That's where your strength comes from. And in the power of his might. Isn't that powerful? I mean, you're not really, he's giving you something to do, but now you know where to get it from. Be strong in the Lord and be strong in the power of his might. I mean, you got strength, power, and might. What's the devil going to do with you? Put on the whole armor of God. So not only, you know, if you ever study people who wore armor, these guys were built. They worked out. They had to be strong because they're going to carry anywhere from 50 to 100 pounds of armor. So they had to be strong. So the first thing is be strong in the Lord. Exercise strong strength in Christ. And then put on the whole armor of God. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And he has wiles, doesn't he? He has tricky moves. I'm going to just see what the little footnote there is on that word. Wiles is the schemings. And he looks at you and he sizes you up and he plans for your whole life how he's going to try to take you down. And you're going to still beat him. Because the armor you're wearing is the armor of God. Did you figure that out yet? You're not wearing your armor. You're putting on God's armor. All right, let's get through this. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We're not here to fight and shoot down and kill human beings, but against principalities, spiritual powers, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness. Whole spiritual armies is for you to take down. Do you love that? Amen. In the heavenly places. You're in heavenly places, but you're in Christ. That makes the difference. 13, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth. So, in other words, it's like a belt of truth that you're going to have around your waist. That's the first thing. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, always be prepared to give an answer to those who ask for the hope of the gospel that you believe in. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Notice the Bible says, no weapon fashioned against you shall prosper. It doesn't say no weapon shall ever be fashioned against you. It simply says all these weapons that are fashioned against you, they're shaped based on Satan knowing you, what weapons work the best against you. But it doesn't matter when you have the shield of faith and the breastplate of righteousness, because it will just sizzle that thing out and it will not be effective. Yes, he'll make a weapon. Yes, he'll fire it. Yes, that thing will hit you. But it doesn't matter. You've got the armor of God between you and the enemy. Hallelujah. Fiery darts of the wicked one will be quenched. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. And this is what I want to get to. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Hallelujah. God bless this word. You may be seated. Now, I want to speak tonight on win your battles. I'm not giving you a suggestion on how to do it, because you can go study that by how can we overcome, or how do we overcome that message. That's a powerful message. How do we overcome, right? Or even the greatest battle ever fought. How many understands the greatest battle ever fought is not in Germany? It is not in the Middle East. The greatest battle ever fought is not in America. The greatest battle ever fought is in your mind. It is the mind. That's where we got to win. How many understands that? Now, your soul is the believer. In your soul, that new birth that you're experiencing is Christ in you, the hope of glory. In your body is kind of the connection to the old world, old way, right? The body, the flesh, wants to keep going toward self-satisfaction, so on. But we understand that that's not converted yet. That is what we're warring against. Can you say amen? But it is in the mind that's kind of the middle ground, that if we can get control of that, we can control the body, we can bring the body so into subjection to the word and promises of God that you will experience a body change. How many wants healing and a body change? And that means we have to take control of the mind. The mind still has fortresses in it. The Bible says we must go into the mind realm, that man's battlefield area, and find these strongholds. You're not going to fight the enemy and destroy him somewhere just out in the field. He's going to hide behind his strongholds, like Jericho. He's going to hide behind Jericho. But you're not going to use common attack strategies that are normal to accomplish defeating a big city or a big fortress. You have to use spiritual concepts and spiritual strategies and spiritual logistical ways. And so God tells Joshua, okay, I understand the walls of Jericho are, you know, however wide they were, 20 feet wide, and they're not going to come down by just building or digging a big pit or a big a trough and then putting up something against it and just causing, no, they're not going to come down. That's going to take months and months. We're not going to use the normal everyday battle tactics that all the other churches are using. We have different instructions. We're under a Joshua. Can you say amen? The name Joshua is simply the name Jesus. It's a Hebrew name, Yeshua, which was used commonly, and Jesus was given that common name because Jesus, that name Yeshua, is a common name connected to God, yes, but a common name to show that he was a common man like you and me, but without sin. He was 100% human, and yet he had a connection with Almighty God. And so his instructions are different. Hallelujah. We're going to get into that in a little bit, but what Joshua did. But Joshua's instructions were different because he told them to do something that was very strange. He said, I want you to march around the city every day for 7 days. It's a big city, so it would take quite a while, probably several hours, to march around it. Now, I can imagine all these soldiers that were in the city, obviously they were afraid because they didn't come out and try to fight. All these warriors are probably chuckling and maybe laughing and maybe thinking, what a bunch of dummies, what are they thinking? And maybe they thought the first day, maybe they didn't laugh the first day. They might have thought, okay, they're looking for a hole somewhere. They're looking for a weakness in our walls. Well, we'll see. They're not going to find any. And around they went the second day and the third day. And, you know, sometimes the way that we defeat the enemy is just keep going around him with the word of God. I mean, we'll lull him to sleep and then we'll pop him a good one. You know what I'm saying? Because if you think about it, the devil's not a dummy. He tries all kinds of tactics with us, and sometimes that's the one he uses on us. He will just sneak into our lives in a slick way. You don't even know he's doing anything, and he just lulls you to sleep. But we can use that on him too. Hallelujah. And so sometimes what God wants you to do is just be consistent. If you will just create a habit every single day, 7 days a week, same thing over and over. And the devil's just, at first he's upset. Oh no, this new believer, Tom, he's reading his Bible again. Oh, I wish I could get him to stop that. Oh no, he's praying here over his lunch. No, I don't want to. Let me just get his cell phone ringing. Call, you need to call Tom, you know. Oh, your phone's ringing and you hit the news. Oh, he hit that button. No, he just shut off that phone. I got to distract him. You know, I'm going to pick on you, okay, Brother Tom? It's good. So, you know, and then this is the way the devil's thinking. But then it happens again, it happens again. And the devil's thinking, well, I did, he, even though he's reading his Bible, even though he's praying, I kind of got him on that one and I got him over there. I think I got him. I think I got to relax. That guy's not even a threat really to me. You get around the seventh day and Joshua says, I want you to do it 7 times. Like, this is going to be all day. We're going to start in the morning, and we're going to go round and round and around. And, I mean, the devil's going to be going like this. You know, when you do that after a while, you're like, woo, you get dizzy. And this is exactly what happens. We get them so dizzy, the whole thing collapsed when they blew the trumpets. And I believe that that's what God is teaching us how to do. Teach my hands to war, David said. Show me how to defeat the enemy. And the Lord has taught us in this end time that we're in another entrance, third paradise, third entrance into the promised land. Do you believe that? We're in a third Exodus, equaling, obviously, a third going into the promised land. And so we're in Revelation. And Revelation is teaching us the seventh day that we need to go around 7 times. Because God used Paul to go around once, and then Irenaeus went around once, and Columbo went around once, and all these guys went around once. Once, Luther, Wesley, Pentecost. And we're in that seventh time, amen? But Pentecost would be equivalent to the first go-around. So then God sent something else. He sent another revival, and then he sent a healing revival, and then he sent the word revival, and then he sends another revival. I mean, this whole generation, this whole 100 years has been going around and around. I don't know, brothers. I feel like we're going around about, this is about the seventh one. You know what I'm saying? It's about the seventh round of the seventh day. This ought to do it. I think the walls are coming down. And it's demonstrating that we can bring down the walls of doubt and fear and all those things that's keeping our minds from being able to conceive that these bodies are only made up of material of atoms, and atoms can be controlled because the creator of atoms of the universe lives inside of me. Hallelujah. And that creator living in you and in you and you can take these atoms, rearrange them, hallelujah, and you'll be a 20-year-old again for the rest of for eternity. How does that sound? Is that concept too far away? Or do you realize we're that close? I believe we're right there. Hallelujah. Now, Brother Branham said this. He said, the sword, in order to be effective, has got to be held in a hand of faith. And in the seals, he says, and it's determined the success of the sword, as you would take two enemies coming at each other, or two opponents grappling each other, both with swords. So Satan has a sword too, right? Satan is as a roaring lion. God is a roaring lion, but they both have swords. They're both warriors. And when the swords clash and hit each other, you're trying to cut the other person. You're trying to press the sword into the heart. And it's all determined on the strategy. But Brother Man says it ends up being, it's what's going to give success to the person is the strength of the grip behind the sword. It's who has the strength. And he said the strength of the believer is faith. And it says it requires a strong hand of faith. See, if you have a weak grip, your sword, no matter how beautiful it is, how sharp, you could have spent hours sharpening it. I mean, it is feather sharp. It could cut anything, and you could really do some damage with it. But it really doesn't matter when you take that beautiful sword and you come up against an expert, someone who's been a warrior forever, because he could still whoop you even with a dull one. It's still going to require what Brother Branham says, a hand of faith. A hand or an individual that is well trained up in the Word of God and in the doctrine and revelation of the Word that he stands for. And then it says with that strong arm or strong hand of faith, he can press the sword into the heart of the enemy and win the battle. How many wants to win the battle? See, it's all about the grip. They don't just use that in golf. They don't just use that in table tennis. I've heard it in every kind of sport. It's all about the grip, right? You've heard that. But it is true. It is all about the grip. So I want to talk to you a little bit about winning the battle and the strength of your hand. Let's talk about your hand. We all know we have five fingers, or you can say four fingers and one thumb, but it's five fingers. And so we're going to talk about the five fingers. Anybody ever heard this before? This is just going to help remind you and make you think about how you apply the word. And what we want to do is develop a habit. Now, Brother Tom here, he could tell you a story of how he had a great weight challenge and God helped him. And he made the decision, made the commitment, and he started to work out. And he was able to lose all that weight, and he has a consistent, and it required that he did something consistently, and he developed a habit. And that habit created a way of life for him. It from just the losing the weight, it changed the way he eats and all those things. So he can tell you the story. And when Rob Detweiler comes out, our brother, he's going to tell you his story of how he did the same thing. And it's a tremendous story. But what I want to share with you is something that'll help develop a habit in your life that's going to give you consistent wins. And even in areas where you have consistent losses. Now, how many can be honest with me tonight? We're a small group, so you can't hide behind a big church. That you do have areas in your life that you have consistent losses. And you don't like that. You want to win. You're trusting in the grace of God. That's why the Bible says, and they overcome. The saints overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. See, it is where your weaknesses are there, or where you consistently had losses, you relied on the blood of the Lamb. So you still won. Isn't that amazing? We're going to overcome by the blood of the Lamb where we do fail, where it looks like a loss. It's going to end up being a win. And where we do beat the devil up and you get to win is by the word of your testimony. Isn't that powerful stuff? So we want the word of the testimony to become the stronger thing and rely less on the blood, but we're always relying on the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? So we're going to talk about your hand, the pinky. The pinky is hearing God's word. There's value in hearing God's word. In fact, the Bible very clearly says, how can anyone even be saved unless he hears the word of God? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and God must send someone to preach so you can hear the word of God. And that's why you come here. That's why you're here tonight. That's why you come on Sunday, because you want to hear the word of God. But how many understands that it doesn't make sense to eat, even though this food is different than natural food, but it doesn't make sense to eat on Sunday all the food for the whole week and then just skip the rest of the week. Wait till next Sunday. You can eat another meal then. I mean, that's pretty painful, and you're going to probably do damage to your body. You don't want to do that. You don't want to just eat on Sunday, eat on Wednesday, eat on Sunday. So therefore, the pinky, to strengthen it, to get a good grip, you want to hear God's word every day as much as you can. And there's ways to do that. Like you can listen on, you can put a podcast, you can listen to Alexander Scorby, who just, they dramatize the Bible. There's all kinds of ways that you can keep hearing the word of God. You can put on the prophet's voice and just listen, and you will hear the word of God. And if you're doing that consistently every day, even if it's in the background, you're still hearing it. Some people go to bed at night. Now, I can't do that, because if I start listening to the word of God at night and I try to go to sleep, I start thinking, and I can't sleep when I'm thinking. So I can't do it. But some people do that, and they're able to do that. That's fine. So it's your pinky. But if you just strengthen your pinky, you just hear the word, and that's it. You don't do anything else with God's word. That's like, imagine holding the sword like that. I mean, really, how strong would that be? I'd like to see you try this, Brother James. Hallelujah. Don't move around too much. You're going to drop it. You might even stab your own foot. Whoops, right? This isn't great. I mean, what does it mean? It means that you're kind of a child. You're just immature. You're making pinky promises with God, you know? You got his promises on a little level. If it breaks it, oh well. You want to go beyond that. So we're going to talk about these six areas, and then I'll get really into it. So there's the ring finger, which is read God's word. You should be writing this stuff down. The middle finger is study God's word. The pointing finger is memorize God's word. These are all in the scripture telling us what to do with God's word. And the thumb is meditate on God's word. I'll explain all these why they're different. And then finally, the palm represents applying God's word. You want to do all these other things building up to the application, the grip. Does that make sense? It requires all to have a very good grip. Hallelujah. So how is your grip on the Godhead? Let's just give an example, and I'm going to pull this in and have it apply to the hand. It's going to be pretty interesting. But what's your grip like on the Godhead? You know, people struggle with that. They don't know, is it three persons? Is it one person? Is it, you know, two? And there's all kinds of ideas out there. And is the Holy Spirit just a power force? And, you know, and he's not really a person or not really God, or maybe just a force coming out of God. And there's all kinds of concepts, and people have all kinds of ideas, but and then, was Jesus just a representative of God? Not really. He was, yes, a holy man. He was a perfect man, but he was just a man. But he fully represented God. This is the thing, and people struggle with this. On the Trinitarian side, Unitarian side, both wrong. But in the middle of the road is the correct answer. Now, I love this. The fact that in the Old Testament, God's name is Yahweh. And that's not even, we know that's not the correct way to say his name, right? That really, when you say Yahweh, it is a Hebrew word. It means he is. But that is referring to God. But it's a Y-H-U-H. It's a Y-H-U-H. It's a very fascinating thing because each one of those letters actually represents something. Just like the old hieroglyphics that the Egyptians used were actually symbols of something. Like you see a man standing there holding a staff, and maybe it means, shepherd. And it's one letter, but it means a whole word. And if you ever see the letter A, which we call Alpha, right? The first letter in the Greek alphabet, Alpha, it comes from the Hebrew word Aleph, which actually means ox. It's an ox. And if you flip it upside down, it's the picture of the ox with the two horns sticking out. That's the A. B is for Beth, and alphabet, right? Beth is B, and comes from the Hebrew word Beth, which means house. Like Temple Beth David. Beth is house. Bethlehem, house of bread. And it's a picture of a house. If you lay the bee down, it's got two little tops on it, like a little old house with a little hovel. And that's what that stands for. And so all the letters in the Hebrew alphabet and our own alphabet, all letters represent something else. They're all words. And so the first letter is Y. And Y-H-U-H, Y is a symbol of a hand. It's a hand. It means hand. It's pretty cool. H is behold. So in other words, in Hebrew fashion, reading from backward to frontwards, it's saying, behold the hand. And then U is nail. It's just like a spike sticking down with a little head on it. And then H again, behold. Behold the hand. Behold the nail. Hallelujah. I mean, what is it talking about? Jehovah of the Old Testament is just Jesus of the New Testament. Behold the hand, the one with the hands with the nails in it. Hallelujah. That same Jehovah was born from a woman, laid in a manger over a manure pile. Jehovah crying in a manger. Hallelujah. In a stable. Praise the Lord with animals all around him and the stink. But it was Jehovah, and it was God's greatest strategy to defeat the enemy. He snuck one in under Satan's nose, and the devil had no clue that a mighty warrior had just stepped on the earth as a baby in swaddling clothes. Couldn't even afford a place to be born. Hallelujah. Behold the hand with the nails. God's name showing that all along that there was a lamb slain, that he was to be a lamb slain before the foundation of the world, and he was to become a lamb slain later on. Behold the nail in the hand. Can you see it now? Now, the pinky is just, you know, hearing God's words and understanding the promises, and especially a new believer, that's where you're at. They're going to start out there. They're just hearing about God's promises. He saved me. I'm going to heaven. I'm so excited. And then as you grow as a baby Christian, you start realizing, he's not just my Savior for tomorrow, for eternity. He's my Savior today. He can save me out of things now. He's not just even my Savior. He's my Lord. He can help me make better decisions so I don't have to be saved all the time. Do you see how that works? If I need to, he's my Savior. But he's my Lord, and he can lead me. And the more I can be led, the less I need to be saved all the time. In fact, then he can help me to help save other people. Do you see how it works? And you develop your relationship first as a pinky, ring finger, read God's word. You want to take the time to dig in and read God's word. You know, take the time, just read it. Make a commitment, a daily commitment to read God's word. You should be able to do that every single day. A portion of it, like it's like it'd be like reading a love letter. You think of it that way, like the ring finger, right? That's about relationship. That's about the love letter. And you realize how much God loves you. We remember a scripture David said in the Bible, I've put your word, Lord, on my doorposts, on my bedposts, on my walls. Everywhere David looked, he says, Lord, so I won't forget about you. Yeah, I'll always think of you. And so he kept God's word everywhere. And so that's what you want to do. If you like scriptures, certain ones, you can find them in the Christian bookstore or create them yourself. Put them up on the wall. Frame them. If you like certain verses, get them all around in your house, because the more the Word of God can be around you and you read it and you're constantly seeing it, it's different hearing it. Hearing it's good, but seeing it, it does more for you to strengthen that ring finger. Now you got at least two fingers. Now you got a little better grip than the guy with the one finger. You got the two fingers. You got the two-finger grip. Amen? And then the middle finger is study God's word. So commit to a day or two per week. You should choose a time that you can really get alone with the word. You're not going to abandon your everyday things that you need to be doing as a person, if you have a role to play in the home. Take care of all your needs and things that need to be done. But take a day or two a week. And also, when you're reading every day, reading the Bible or hearing the Word of God, the pinky and the ring finger, jot things down. Write down. Don't just write down things you hear that you say, oh, I love what I just heard there. What if, you know, there's times when you hear things and you're like, wow, what about that? And a question comes up, or you're wondering about something, write that down. See, a lot of times we wonder and we have questions, we get curious and we say, I'm probably too dumb. I don't know what I'm even thinking. No question's dumb for God. Nothing is it's nothing pleases God more than a hungry heart that goes after him. Lord, reveal to me this. Help me understand something. So write those down, because when you go to studying, that's going to give you a list that you're creating of things you want to study, you want to find out about, right? So that's the strength of the middle finger. Now you got three-finger grip. That's a lot better, wouldn't you say so? And number four is the pointing finger. Instead of pointing fingers at your brother and sister in Christ, you should be pointing fingers to the Word of God. Amen. My grace comes from the Lord. God gives me grace, so he gives everybody else grace. Amen. But memorize God's Word. Commit to one verse per week to memorize. You have 50 weeks in a year, 52 really, if you don't want to take vacation on it, that you could memorize 52 passages of Scripture. Imagine in 1 year you could memorize, to me, there's at least 52 power passages. You could memorize those. You could become deadly. You could become a dangerous person to the devil. Do you see what I'm saying? We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against these things. We need to have leverage. We need to have something that gives us the advantage. This will do it. Your pointing finger. So that when you memorize these verses, hallelujah, it just changes everything. I'm going to give you some tips on how to memorize. Memorizing sometimes is tricky if you don't realize how your mind works. So here's what you do. If you see a scripture or a passage you really, really love, write it down. And don't just type it down. They say that if you type it, it gives you a certain amount of memory. But when you write, because there's all the motion of your hand and your eye coordination and your brain, it brings so much to bear that it's 90% greater way to memorize something than any other way. How easy it is nowadays with our devices that we can just grab a scripture, highlight it, copy it, cut it, paste it, got it, print it out. Yes, I got it. No, don't do that. Get a 5x8 card or a smaller card, even a business card, and get good at writing a scripture on the back of it. Or really to memorize it, I would take a notebook and just write that thing 5 to 10 times over. Sounds like torture, like when you were in school and you did something bad, right? But this is torture for the devil. If he sees you doing that, he knows what you're up to. He's like, oh, I got to deal with it. He's going to memorize that. Because Satan's job is that when you get the word, he wants to snatch it away. Remember the crows Jesus talked about? When the word of God is heard by somebody, Satan comes right around and grabs it. And he takes it away. I want you to know something. What I'm preaching tonight, unless you're writing down notes, and I know some of you have good mental notes, but it's average person, in 72 hours, you will only remember 5%. That's it. That's why I wonder, what am I doing? This is a horrible job. Can you imagine that? But for most of our sisters here, they get it, because they know that when they're all done with the laundry and it's all folded and all put away, the hamper's full again. It never ends. It just keeps going around and around, right? That's how preaching is. It's the same. But it doesn't have to be that way when you can take the commitment and say, I want to make this work. When I hear the message preached on Sunday, when I hear it preached on Wednesday, whoever the minister is, I want to make it more applicable in my life. I want to make that actually become something. You know, if I come up next Sunday and I ask you, what did I preach last Sunday? And you're all like speechless and going, I'm not too sure. That's not good. You know, that could be on me too, but it's on all of us. And the more you hunger, the more you expect, the more you will receive. So I want you to build that up. So make it a part of a commitment. Have a dedicated book, notebook, whatever it is, that you can just scribble down over and over a verse, because it starts to become memory. And then just start speaking it over and over. And the way I will memorize this verse is I will read the first clause, usually wherever there's going to be a break on it, or a period, or maybe a comma. And I'll read it, and then I'll look away, and I'll say it 5 times without looking at it. And then I'll read it and read the next clause, and then I'll say it all together 5 times without looking at it. And then I'll read it and add the next clause, and that's what I do. I just keep adding until I've got it down, and I've done it over and over. If I get it wrong, I start all over and do it again. That's how I do it. That's pretty dogmatic, but I get it done, and you will memorize those verses like that. Here's the other thing I recommend that you do Not only are you carrying around the memory card in your pocket where you can pull it out at work or wherever you're at, just keep on pulling it out, looking at it. And especially if it's starting to fit into some area of your life you want to develop and you want to overcome something, you'll see that be very, very powerful. It'll work very, very powerfully for you. But also, I recommend that you find a way to read it out loud, speak it out loud. Once you memorize it, you don't need the card, but speak it out loud and keep speaking it. There's something extremely powerful that when you speak it, you're hearing it both with your inner ear and your outer ear. And when you do that, you're double memorizing it and enforcing it into your life. All this is going to come in for the thumb. When you got the pointing finger down and you got a four-finger grip, you're ready for the thumb. Now remember, because we have opposable thumbs, we have something called a grip. A bear, a dog, a horse, a lion does not have a grip. They have this kind of a grip. That's about it. But they don't have a real grip like you do. This is why David could defeat a lion and a bear, because he had a grip. So you want that thumb. The thumb is to meditate on God's word. Now, if we'll go over here to Joshua. You'll see where it's in there. And I love this. Joshua chapter 1. Praise the Lord. You remember this, that when God was really dealing with Brother Branham and calling him into the ministry, he points him right to Joshua chapter 1, meaning that we're in an Exodus and it's time to get into the promised land. Amen? So if you go to Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, how many knows that the story of Moses, potentially he might have been dead, but he also might have been raised from the dead, like pretty fast. I mean, that's pretty much what we understand. But God still tells Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. It's like what he's trying to do, he says, look, Joshua, you can no longer rely on Moses. You can no longer go to the man and ask the man for help or ask the man to pray for you or ask the man to have a vision. That's gone. However, watch what he says here. But he says, let me see. My servant is dead. Now, therefore, because of this, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I am giving them, to the children of Israel. So, when God's servants who are leaders pass away, that's not the time to camp out and stay in one spot and build a dogma and build a religion. It's time to rise up and go do what the servant said to do. Moses spent 40 years writing four or five books to get them prepared, hallelujah, for the promised land. It doesn't make sense to stay in the wilderness. So under Joshua, you can no longer stay in the wilderness. Hallelujah. Do you believe that? So I wanted to share with you that under the revealed word of this hour, Christ, who is Jehovah, Jesus, Yeshua, Joshua, the anointing of the hour, we must be going into the promised land. We cannot stay sitting over here on the other side. God says it in an interesting way. Go, arise and go across this Jordan. I love that, don't you? This old stupid Jordan just stands there all the time. Go across that thing. Go across. Get across that death. Get beyond the denominational mindset, because that mindset is keeping those towers there and those fortresses there. But I want you to go on the promised land, which Brother Branham says is not heaven, but it's a battleground. You have to fight for every piece of ground that belongs to you. How many has an inheritance that's waiting for you? It's yours, but you got to fight for it. You're fighting your way toward your theophany. Hallelujah. And it's fighting its way toward you. Hallelujah. Keep on fighting, saints, because we're going to make it. Now watch what God says here, and I love this. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. Now, saints, listen carefully to God's wording there. It's a different Hebrew word than simply taking a step. The word there is to tread. It means to step heavily. It means to step with authority and with power and with claiming that where I just put my foot, it's not tiptoeing. You're stepping. You're not trying to sneak in. You're stepping in like a lion saying, it's mine. This is mine. This is mine. The devil says, that's not yours. What did you say? I told you you can't have that. What did you tell me? You just keep stepping on. I've got your children. No, you don't. Those are my children. I'm taking them back. This is my health. I'm taking it back. You got to tread, the Bible says, like a warrior. It's a captain of the guard who's telling you, or the great general, you must go in with force. You can't just crawl in, sneak in. You've got to go in as a warrior. Hallelujah. Tread in. And every place the sole of your foot treads on is yours. Isn't that powerful? Man, that's so powerful. The problem is when we get sick, we become under the burden of the pain of it and of the pressure of it and the fear of it and the challenge of it, and we don't even take a step. We don't even make a move. You know, we want to call the doctor. We want to figure out what's going on, and that's fine. Do that, but you should just know it doesn't matter if you get even a scratchy throat or a slight toothache. We ought to be able to start stepping up to the plate and making a step. This is mine. My territory, my area. Every place where the sole of your foot treads, God said, it's yours. Now, the fact of the matter is, it's already yours. He already told Abraham, it's all yours. He told Moses, it's all yours. He told all the children of Israel, it's yours. But what God is saying there, it's yours as a promise, but once your foot lands on it, it's yours in reality. How many can say amen? How many need some reality? The promises you need to be able to experience them today. So then he goes on in verse 6 and or 5 and says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Hallelujah. And I'm going to say this, as God would say this today, as I was with Jesus, I'm going to be with you, bride of Christ. Hallelujah! As I was with Jesus, he was greater than Moses. I'm going to be with you, bride of Christ. Hallelujah! He could even say, as I was with Brother Branham, I'm going to be with you. End time believers, I'm going to be with you. And I'm going to fight with you the battles and give you overcoming strength. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, I love this. Nothing shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. I want to ask you guys a question. How many realizes it seems like there's still things that do stand before us? There's resistance. Stuff comes up ahead of you. You get worried. You get afraid. You're nervous. Sometimes with school, with work, you got challenges. It makes you afraid. It's a normal human trait. Even Jesus had different things where he said, my heart is really like stressed out. Jesus had times when he felt stressed. But yet he knew where his strength was. When he felt, the more stress he felt, the more prayer he did. The more he connected with God. What a way to learn how to do this. Amen. And so I want you to understand that, saints, that that's where we're going to go. So verse 6 says, be strong and of good courage. And I love this because you can be physically strong, you can be mentally strong, but having courage, that means being willing to risk it all with the strength you have. I have all I need. I can overcome with the strength, but being willing to risk that, to go ahead and get it done, that's courage. You have strength, but go win this battle now. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. And so really it's pointing to who Christ is in this end time. Jesus Christ is the revealed word of the hour. Can you say amen? And that revealed word is placing you. It comes into you, it tells you who you are in Christ, and it gives you your inheritance and it places you. I'm a warrior. I'm victorious. I am overcoming these things. It's very, very powerful. Only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Saints, one of the things that causes Christians and believers to not prosper spiritually, mentally, emotionally, relationship-wise, or any other way, one of the things is we get so easily distracted. We just do. We get pulled to the right, we get pulled to the left, wind blowing in every direction. That's why we need to get our grip. We need to get our grip and get our goggles, and we need to focus in. Okay, that's where I'm going, and I'm not even going to look there or there. I'm going to be like one of those horses, right? put the shields on. That's where I'm going. I'm going there. That's where I'm going to get. And don't let anything take that out of you. If you feel like, you know, someday I'm going to be blessed. Someday God's going to bless me with a spouse. Someday God's going to bless me with the right person in my life. Just focus on God and focus on His promises, and all that stuff will just show up. If you seek the Lord and His kingdom and His righteousness first, He will add and add and add all that to your life. Don't focus on all these things. You'll be looking everywhere. Is this the one? Is this the person? Is this where I should go? Should I go to this college? Should I go to this? Should I take this job? What should I do? You know, you don't do that. You focus on the promise of God, not on the problem. The promise will beat the problem every time. Amen? So write it down. These are ways of memorizing it, and we'll go on a little bit further here because I love this part of Joshua. And here it is. This is the part I said, the thumb, meditate on God's word. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Shall not depart from your mouth. God is using a wording there, verbiage there, that's saying when anything else comes out of your mouth, then the word of God has departed from it. Let the stuff coming out of your mouth be the word of God. Now, don't blow people away like your boss says, hey, can you go over there and pick that up and move it over there and then you can take your break? Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You know, I mean, you can't do that. But know how the word of God is training you how to be, not just what you say. What you say is good, but what you be is important. Live God's word. Yes, but let the words coming out of your mouth be tempered. So you might lose your temper, then it's not working. So there it is. And then he says, but you shall meditate in it day and night. There it is. That, and why do I want to meditate in it? So that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. That just simply means you're going to get good results. Good results in your life. Good results in your marriage, in your work, and everything you're doing. You will get good results if you can work your way through the grip and get that thumb working in your favor. Amen? Now, I've learned in boxing, one thing that we have to teach the girls about boxing if they're going to learn a little bit of self-defense. Girls tend to do something that you shouldn't do, but we do it too when we're guys. When we're young, we don't know any better, but we put our fists together and we put our thumbs like this. You know, get your thumb out there. That's a great way to break your thumb. You go to punch somebody. So you got to get your thumb under and kind of grip your fingers at the second digit. This way, if you do that, it's a much better punch. Hallelujah. I like that. He's got one there where you tuck your thumbs in. But you want to have the grip just right. That's how you're going to defeat. Or even if you grab something, it's the same way. Amen? So then you'll have good results. And I just want to read a couple more things. Verse 10, verse 11. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, and for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. Hallelujah. Now, what I love about that, if you watch, the Bible says God commanded Joshua. And then it turns around and says, Joshua commanded the officers. And then it says, the officers, go command the people. See what it is there? Is you've got God who's commanding, in a sense, Jesus, because that's what He's commanded in this end time. He did it through Brother Branham. He did it in our day. That's the day we live in. God commanded us through His Word. And now the Word, through the message of the hour, commands the preachers, the pastors, the officers, to command the people. Let's go take the land. We can't be wimpy about it. We need to get it done. God commanded Joshua. Joshua commanded the officers. The officers commanded the people. Hallelujah. And finally, finally is the palm. So going back to the thumb very quickly now, meditate on God's word. Find a day, one day a week or something. Go walk by a river. Find a place you can get alone with God. And you don't even need the Bible necessarily. You just need to go alone and just start thinking on God's word. Find a scripture. Start narrowing down. And just sit there and start to dwell on it and think. What's going to happen when you meditate on it? It's going to start guiding you in your path. It's going to help you not turn left and right when you need to be going straight in a direction. In other words, it's going to start teaching you and giving and opening up your understanding on how to apply it.
If you spend 90% of your time meditating, the 10% of the time that you need to apply it to learn how to get the hows will show up. People are running around trying to, you know, listen to televangelists and everybody else trying to tell you all the hows. Hows never come on a silver platter. They're never handed to you that way. The real how comes when you spend time on the why. Meditate on the why and the how will show up. Does that make sense? God will reveal it to you. There it is. I can do this. Praise the Lord. Now the palm is applying God's word. And this is what I want to teach you. Once you catch something on how to make God's word work in your life, apply it immediately. The faster you can apply it, the better it'll be in your life, the more success you'll have. If you are driving your car and you notice when you hit 50 miles an hour or whatever, it's going, making like, it's shimmying, it's making a noise. You could solve that by just finding a speed that where it doesn't do that. It's a temporary solve. You might still have a blowout or something else go wrong, but you're solving it, but you're not really solving it. You're just pacifying the issue and you're not really solving it. You know it's still there. So it may require you to take time to meditate over it to figure out what it really is. You want to inspect and see what is going on. And then the solution will come to the problem. Hallelujah. So apply it immediately. That means that the best thing to do is just go get it fixed. Apply to an old habit. And since you are, how many here is not ignorant of the devil's devices, like the Bible says? And how many here realizes that the devil attacks you in your weakest places? That's right. Now, Satan doesn't attack you in your weakest places because that's the best chance he has of defeating you. He attacks you in your weakest places to get you to focus on your weakest places, to get your focus off your strengths. Because if he can get you to focus on your weakest places, you will self-implode. Satan really can't defeat you, but you can defeat you. So his job is to get you to defeat yourself. You get it? So as long as you're going to focus on it, now be aware of it, know what your weaknesses are, and understand that God's going to give you strength to overcome those things. But what's greater than that is that your palm is going to be, this is your palm. You should know something like, what do they say, like the back of your hand, but really the inside. Most people know more of the inside than the back, but so you want it to be something that you're going to create a habit now in your life that's going to replace a bad habit. It's going to replace a bad way of doing things. Does that make sense? And so now when the bad thing pops up, you have now done all these things. You've got a grip now. You've been hearing the word, reading the word, studying the word. Amen. You've been memorizing it. You've been meditating on it. And when this thing shows up, you go, oh, there you are again. This time I've got an answer for you. And you will apply that. So you'll turn it around. If there's something that triggers your ire, that triggers your anger, there's something that just gets under your skin so easily every time, now you have an answer. At first, you may feel the same boiling temperature coming. You may feel the same pull into some kind of temptation or some kind of pull. And you feel it, and you feel yourself going there. And then something in you rises up and says, no, but wait a minute, I have the sword of the Spirit. I've got the armor of God. This is not going to happen. And you're able to take God's word and get yourself a victory. Now, you may have to do this over and over because remember, you have built neural pathway habits that your body and your brain and your whole spirit system knows you go down the same path. You're like a dog runs to the same thing. But now you realize, no, I'm a God. I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. I'm a human. I'm not a dog. I'm not this. So now you realize, no, I've got to rise. I got to beat this thing, and I can do it. I have the courage to do it. I have the strength to do it. I can do this, and you win, and you win, and you may lose. But you come back and you do it again. Don't give up on it. Keep doing it. Keep applying. Keep using your palm of your hand. Devil keeps coming at you. Just remember the palm of your hand. Remember, Brother Tommy, remember back in the day? Talk to the hand, right? There you go. So the devil comes at you. Talk to the hand. You know? In other words, I don't have time for you. And then you grab your armor, and you make sure it's on, you make sure it's all greased up and shiny, and then you pull that sword out while he's busy talking to your hand, and then you give it to him. Hallelujah! And then you do it again. And what you're going to do is you're going to create brand new spiritual neural pathways that every time it comes, after a while, he'll quit because he'll be like, forget it. You can't win there. I'll try something else. And your old nature will be sticky until the day of the rapture. But we can still beat him all the way till the body change. We will beat him until the body change. How's that sound? Do you love him with all your heart? God bless you. Let's all pray. Father, we just know that it's your grace that we can call you Father, Papa God, Daddy, because we come to you in your Son's name, as your Son, all of us, male, female, doesn't matter. We're all in Christ. And when we speak to you, we know Jesus as a mediator is wording, converting our words, translating them into a divine language that says, Lord, thank you for your salvation. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the blood of Christ. Thank you for the victory. Lord, we want to praise you and thank you for the word that gives us the victory. And we praise you, Lord, and thank you for the armor of God that you provided for us. Fill us more and more each day with your Spirit, with your precious promises, and may they become a reality in our hearts and lives. Our Father God, I pray that this will be a day that we all realize we got to be more conscientious and more purpose-driven as far as the word goes. We've got to make it work. We have to bring it to the point where it's applied on a consistent basis until it's a habit, until it's the way we live, until it is just an absolute force. And you'll take your bride, Lord, and run her right through the gates and the walls of the enemy and knock it all down, tear the whole thing down. Every fortress has to come down. Every thought that's against the word of God will be brought subject to it. It cannot be defeated. Lord, we just thank you, Father God, that heaven and earth may pass away, but your word will never pass away. And Lord, hell itself will not prevail against your word, Lord, against your people. Hell cannot prevail, but we'll prevail against it. And we thank you, Lord, for the victory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't he good to you? Amen, amen, amen. Keep inviting people to this. If you remember, this will be on Saturday the 21st. And it's going to be at the Wallingford Park and Rec, which is right in town. I appreciate Sister Celine helping us just to get that set up because she's local or whatever. She's able to do it. And we're going to set that up, and we're going to have a wonderful time on that Saturday. And then I think on Sunday, they're going to hang around with us. They're going to be part of the service. I'm going to have him give his testimony, and then he's going to do a little something later Sunday afternoon. So that's going to be on the 22nd, and that's just going to be for us. And we're going to invite people that have come from the local, from the area, from the community to the Saturday night workshop. We're going to invite them to come to church. That make sense? We need to be doing more to bring people to Christ in a positive, powerful way. And I know that God has given us a way to do that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's stand as we sing. What song are you playing, Anne? Let's sing that one. How many believe that that's the secret right there? The secret. Give yourself away. Amen. Here I am. I stand, Lord, my life is in your hand. Lord, I'm longing to see your desires revealed. Amen. In me. Here myself away, I give myself away, so you can use me. You can use me. Help me, Brother James. Give myself away. Amen. I give myself. Sing it from your heart, so you can use. Heart, take my life as a living sacrifice. Amen. all my dreams, all my plans, Lord, I place them, hallelujah, surrender to Him for the victory. I give myself away. I give myself away so You can use me. Give myself away. Amen. Yes, I give myself away so You can use me. I'm my own. You, I belong. I give myself to You. Life is not my own. To You I belong. Give myself away to You, Jesus. Amen. Oh, precious Jesus, receive us. I give myself away so You can You give us victory today. Give myself away. Oh, I give myself away so You can use me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't He good? Till we meet again, may He be with you and in you and work through you for the glory of God. God bless you. Have a good evening. Brother James, if you want to do one last song, you can.
I give myself away, hey Lord. I give myself away so You can use me. I give myself away, hey. I give myself away so You can use me. My life is not my own. My life is not my own. To You I belong. I give myself to You. My life is not my own. To You I belong. I give myself to You. Lord, I give myself away. Oh God, I give myself away so You can. Just one more time. I give myself away. Hey, I give myself away so You can use me. Amen.